Turbulent times call for clear-headed insight. That's hard to come by these days, especially on TV. That's where we come in. Salem News Channel has the greatest collection of conservative minds all in one place. People you know and trust, like Dennis Prager, Eric Metaxas, Charlie Kirk, and more. Unfiltered, unapologetic truth. Find what you're searching for at snc.tv and on Local Now, Channel 525.
Hey, everybody. The Charlie Kirk Show. Alan Dershowitz joins us for a very clear episode on Israel. Also, are we living through the great divestment? You'll see what I mean throughout this episode. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com and become a member, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab, charliekirk.com. Click on the members tab to listen to our episodes advertiser free. That's right, advertiser free, charliekirk.com, and click on the members tab. Get involved with Turning Point USA today at tpusa.com. That is tpusa.com. Start a high school or college chapter today at tpusa.com. Buckle up, everybody. Here we go.
Charlie, what you've done is incredible here.
Maybe Charlie Kirk is on the college campus.
I want you to know we are lucky to have Charlie Kirk.
Charlie Kirk's running the White House, folks.
I want to thank Charlie. He's an incredible guy. His spirit, his love of this country. He's done an amazing job building one of the most powerful youth organizations ever created, Turning Point USA.
We will not embrace the ideas that have destroyed countries, destroyed lives, and we are going to fight for freedom on campuses across the country. That's why we are here.
Brought to you by the loan experts I trust, Andrew and Todd at Sierra Pacific Mortgage at andrewandtodd.com. I wrote an entire book called The College Scam. It's actually right up here. Sold a bunch of copies. You guys should check it out. All proceeds of the book, by the way, profits go to Turning Point USA. It's pretty good. We talk all about how college has become a scam. 10-count indictment. And one of the chapters in The College Scam is about the hatred that starts on university campuses. When I wrote The College Scam and I was about to publish it, you know, one of our team members said, Charlie, are you sure it's wise to be that blunt and that direct? First of all, we run a college-based organization. But secondly, you know, we have to raise capital from donors that are pretty connected to universities. The way it works is that if you typically, if you have a lot of resources, a lot of money in America, you are probably attached to some university, because you feel obligated to give back to the university that gave you so much. You have good memories there. You look at it as a way that potentially maybe for good cultural camaraderie, whatever it is, right? It's almost a one-to-one that if you are in high society, there is some form of a university or a college that you sit on a board of that you give generously back to. Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Dartmouth, Stanford, Berkeley, whatever it is. And I learned this as I started to raise money at Turning Point USA. And here I was trying to raise capital to basically launch a counter narrative against the universities, to organize students, to talk about pro-American, pro-liberty, pro-freedom ideas. And as I first got started and I started traveling campuses, I realized that these university campuses are the incubators of anti-Americanism, the worst ideas. We call it wokeism, whatever it is, Marxism, Leninism, Stalinism. The universities are one of the reasons why we're losing our country. Colleges are the place where you send your best and brightest to learn to hate themselves, hate the country, rebel against their parents, be turned into ungrateful activists, to then become moldable AOCs, Rashida Tlaib's, Ilhan Omar's, where they're resentful, bitter, angry, driven by revenge and bad ideology. And I go through in the book, The College Scam, how the trans idea started on universities. Literally, this whole idea of transgender is from the academy. One of the most sick and demented and evil, quote-unquote, thinkers in the 20th century, Mr. Kinsey, has an entire center dedicated to him at Indiana University in Bloomington, Indiana. Herbert Marcuse, who wrote One Dimensional Man, is kind of the leader of the new left, who discipled Angela Davis, universities. Bill Ayers, who was a terrorist, university professor. Kimberly Crenshaw, university professor. Ibram X. Kendi, university professor. Robin DiAngelo, university professor. Even Anthony Fauci. Where do you think Anthony Fauci has drawn a paycheck from, in addition to all the pharmaceutical companies? Georgetown University. Right now. Peter Strzok, stroke smirk. Peter Strzok, who launched a coup against Donald Trump, where do you think he is right now? Georgetown University. So higher education it's not only the starting point of the worst ideas, movements, ideologies, but it's also a landing pad for some of the most despicable human beings our society and civilization has to offer. Anthony Fauci should be in prison for what he did to this country. Instead, he's lecturing at Georgetown and treated as a hero. And so as I published this book, it wasn't necessarily met with hostility, but certainly skepticism. Without a doubt, skepticism. And one community in particular, and they were really sweet about it, were upper middle class, center-right Jews that would give money to Harvard, Princeton, Penn, Yale. Understand that in Jewish culture, education is taken very seriously. It's one of the reasons why Jews do very well. Understanding the law, reading the law. One of the parts of Jewish culture is that if you go to a Jewish dinner, a Seder, Passover Seder, a Shabbat dinner, and you're a six-year-old, you have to prove your point. It's always debating. You have to get a word in edgewise. In Jewish culture, it's a lot of challenging of ideas, questioning, if you will. And honestly, it creates intellectual strength. It creates a 7, 8, or 9-year-old that you better have a good point or else your, uncle's going to say, no. Moshe, that's not smart. Next point. You're like, okay, wow. And it creates, honestly, a love of learning. And so education has always been a staple of Jewish culture, always. Now, what they call education, I call indoctrination and anti-Americanism. And upper middle class and elite Jewish culture have been one of the main funding sources of American elite colleges, especially in the modern era. Harvard, $50 billion endowment. Columbia, you can look it up. I think it's $30 or $35 billion endowment. Stanford, $40 billion endowment. $1 billion. You could fund Ukraine for a month with these endowments. And when I published the book, The College Scam, and I would get into, really spirited discussions with some very well-intentioned, center-right Jewish donors. And they'd say, come on, Charlie, higher education is bad, but it's not as bad as you say it is. And I would always say, you realize the Jew hatred that is going to erupt volcanically one day. They said, no, I don't think it's that bad. There might be some Muslim groups here or there, but it's not widespread. It's not institutionalized. I said, okay, we'll just agree to disagree. I could tell you from personal experience, the Jew hatred, the American hatred, the anti-white sentiments that are bubbling up in these university campuses, one day it will manifest into something very, very real. Now, this could be connected to any issue that you're passionate about. Are you concerned that America has become less religious? University campuses. Are you concerned that more and more people think men can give birth? University campuses. Are you concerned about the war on white people? University campuses. Are you concerned that young people don't have an adherence or a love to the United States Constitution? University campuses. Like, all roads used to lead to Rome. All roads lead to Harvard, Princeton, Yale, Stanford. And they are also the feeding factory of the FBI, of Goldman Sachs, of Google, of the CIA, of the United Nations. While I bash colleges relentlessly, I also acknowledge and admit that if you can get the special card, the special ticket to the secret society, you're going to have an easier time climbing up elite circles. If you have a diploma from Harvard, you have a leg up, period. You're going to be treated differently. They call it the H-bomb. That as soon as you say you're from Harvard, people change their mannerisms and their posture. Wow. I'll be honest, I'm guilty of this too. When I found out Blake went to Dartmouth, I treated him more seriously. I'm kidding, Blake. But there's, and by the way, the old joke is, how do you know someone who went to Harvard? They'll tell you in the first 5 minutes. They'll drop the H-bomb on you. Oh, yes, when I was at Harvard rowing. Like, okay, pal, got it, thanks. But even at times, you hear someone goes to Ivy League school, you're like, okay, that you're kind of conditioned to treat them, not treat them differently, but take what they say more seriously, or there might be something to them. Yeah, exactly. The new way that the Harvard people say, when I was school right outside of Boston, and like this fake modesty, and like, oh, really? Boston College? No. UMass? No. Yeah, okay. We know where you're getting there. Yeah. I went to college in Boston. Yeah, okay, pal. But something is finally changing. And unfortunately, it took a 9/11 style tragedy to get things to change. One of the reasons why we are losing Western civilization is because of higher education, period. And the funding mechanism for that have been elite Jewish donors that have been giving billions of dollars to subsidize what they think is great intentions, but is the downfall of the West. Included in that, though, and they've hid it for a while, is outright Jew hatred. And now that Jew hatred is not hiding any longer. The masks are off. The volcano has exploded. And it's more clear than ever that university campuses are an ideological safe haven for Hamas, for the justification of killing Jews and destroying America. And finally, Jewish donors are revolting. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Do you know that the average American spends about 20 years in retirement? That's a long time to live without a steady income. We want to make sure you enjoy every moment of it and don't outlive your money. Retirement is about more than just investments. It's about living your best life. Let's not retire. Let's pivot. My friends at Pax Financial Group developed a course for the sole purpose of helping you pivot. If you want your own free guide of pivoting into the next chapter of life with purpose, visit paxfg.com/Charlie. That is paxfg.com/Charlie. I have some of my money managed by Pax Financial. They do a wonderful job. And remember, retirement is about more than just investments. The Charlie Kirk endorsement of the Pax Financial Group LLC was given for compensation, which creates an incentive to recommend Pax's advisory services. You need to make sure that disclaimer is very clear. So check it out, paxfg.com/Charlie. So there's this stream of money that goes to these university campuses. But finally, based on all of the pro-Hamas demonstrations of students that say this is wonderful that Jews were killed, they're saying that this was justified, that this is decolonization, this is liberation. Finally, there is a schism occurring. Israeli billionaire Idan and Batia Ofer donated $20 million to the Harvard Kennedy School. They've just announced they're done. They're quitting the school's board after Harvard's shocking response to Hamas's mass butchery of Israeli citizens. Bill Ackman, a very well-known hedge fund manager, is demanding the names of pro-Hamas students to blacklist them from Wall Street. Wharton megadonor Mark Rowan is publicly calling on donors to close their checkbooks and defund University of Pennsylvania. This is just the beginning. There's a lot more than this, by the way. There's, you know, $100,000, $200,000 donors that are defecting in major numbers. And the essence of it is, again, how many times are we knowingly putting our money, our time, our treasure, our energy, our political power in a way that destabilizes our own country? Look at our immigration policy. That is a form of suicide of what we are doing, bringing in the third world, bringing in people that do not share our values into our country. It destabilizes. You see, campus divestment, which needs to happen across the board, is an isolated example of finally a group stepping up and stopping their own suicide. So what needs to happen next? Well, why doesn't the Oklahoma legislature get together and defund the University of Oklahoma, which is a breeding ground of anti-Americanism? Or the Missouri legislature? I'm going next week to Missouri State University. And they got all sorts of Marxist pro-Hamas demonstrations happening in Springfield, Missouri. This needs to be a widespread movement, and not just on the university side, but you need to look through everything through the lens of, am I participating in something that then makes the country I love, the values I share, less likely to continue to the next generation? We used to be a superpower. Now we are acting like a stupid power, quite honestly, from what we are funding, what we're doing. And it's driven by guilt. It's driven by bad ideology. And part of the awakening that needs to occur in this country is that there are worse things than being called names by the bad guys. You know, they'll call, they're calling the donors that are defecting anti-education. They don't care. And honestly, you know, Mark Rowan, these guys that are defunding these universities, this is super, I don't know them, but they're, I guarantee you that their parents or their grandparents had close memories to the Holocaust. And for them, this is like the breaking point. Like, we're done. We are done. And I hope that there isn't some sort of, you know, effort to bring them back and they soften all this. And honestly, these universities have done a deal with the devil for quite some time. Universities take significant Middle Eastern funding, significant Middle Eastern funding. You know, 15 million here and 20 million here. They've allowed the sons and daughters of the Middle Eastern oligarchs and theocratic dictators to come in and go to school at UPenn, Cornell, Princeton, Stanford. They've let them in for a while, and not just the elite kids, but Arab kids all over. And then they're shocked when all of a sudden Harvard University, they have kids coming out and supporting what happened. It's not just Harvard. NYU, the head of the student association at NYU, the bar association, comes out and says, Israel brought this upon themselves. But this is not just about the Israel issue. It's happening on a daily basis. It's happening to foment the anti-white sentiment in this country. It's happening to breed outright anti-Americanism, a war against our free speech rights. It's a top-down revolution that is financed by elite circles. And my prayer is that out of this total tragedy, God will use evil for good, as he says in Genesis 50:20. What the enemy meant for evil, God will use for good. And one good that can come out of this unthinkable savagery and horror is the West realizes that they have been underwriting this for years. They've been underwriting the ideological justification for that horror and the continuation of it. It needs to happen in every institution, colleges, corporate, religious. Stop funding things that destabilize your values. Hey, everybody, Charlie Kirk here. Aren't you tired of not making a difference? You can. We can make a difference standing for life by giving free ultrasounds with our friends at Preborn. In a Dobbs world, states decide about abortion, and so many liberal states are taking extreme stands, even allowing abortion up to literally the second before a baby is born. It's unbelievable, but true. And in California, the demand for abortions has increased 400% in part because the state is inviting women and girls to come to California for the sole purpose of aborting their baby. This is abortion trafficking. Take a stand for life by providing an ultrasound for a young woman. When you do, she is twice as likely to choose life. I'm a donor, and you should be too, to Preborn. Just $28 provides that ultrasound and saves one baby. $140 saves five. A gift of $15,000 provides an ultrasound machine that can save thousands of babies for years to come. Call 833-850-2229 or click on the Preborn banner at charliekirk.com. That is charliekirk.com, and click on the Preborn banner. Joining us now is Professor Alan Dershowitz. Professor, thank you so much for joining the program. Professor, it's been a very difficult week, a sad week, a heavy week. It's tragic. Professor, I'm curious, were you even shocked at the response from some of these Harvard students? I mean, you know the community very well. You know, you've built a whole career there. Was this even, was this something where you were even surprised to see the outright Jew hatred gone public so quickly after a massacre of 1,300 Jews?
I was not surprised. When you propagandize young students for years, years and years, and tell them that Jews are the privileged group and the Israelis are the colonialist settlers, and you grade them down in class if they don't take that view, you prevent speakers. For example, I retired from Harvard 10 years ago. I have never been invited back to speak about Israel. Once a group wanted me to speak, but they told me I had to speak off the campus because they were afraid of violent reaction when I supported the two-state solution. I didn't support Hamas, obviously, that wants a one-state solution, no Jews. All I want from Harvard is a single standard. I want to know what Harvard would do if a group of students signed a petition saying, we support the bombing of a gay bar that occurred somewhere, or we support the bombing of a black church. It was the gays and the blacks who were at fault for them being bombed. I just want to know what President Gay of Harvard, what presidents of other schools would say if a group of students, 30 groups of students, wrote petitions blaming blacks for the bombing of black churches, blaming gays for the burning or the shooting into a gay bar. Whatever that standard is, I accept for for Jews and for Israel. But I will not, and no donor to Harvard should, accept a double standard that discriminates against Jews, against Zionists, against the state of Israel.
So, Professor, we're starting to see a revolt amongst donors. And, you know, a significant amount of the donations that come to Ivy League schools are from, you know, obviously alumni, but also Jewish alumni, very generous. The Jewish community is incredibly generous. We're starting to see evidence that the Jewish community is saying no more. They're cutting off the money. Do you think that Harvard and Penn, for example, are they past the point of redemption? Is it time to just cut it off, cut your losses, and say, we will no longer subsidize this outright Jew hatred?
Well, I wouldn't subsidize it now, but I don't think they'd be on the point of redemption. I do think that they can have a reckoning. Remember, after one black man, George Floyd, was horribly murdered, one black man who had fentanyl in him, who was drunk and had a criminal record, one black man was killed. It caused a reckoning at Harvard, change of admission standards, change of curriculum, appointing dozens of diversity deans. Don't you think it's time for a reckoning at Harvard University about its anti-Semitism, by the way, which is 100 years old, anti-Jewish quotas, supporting the Nazis in the 1930s? Harvard has a major reckoning to do, and I will not send Harvard a single penny until it does that reckoning. And I have to tell you, I have gotten calls not only from Jewish donors, but from non-Jewish donors, friends of mine, former clients, others, who are not Jewish. And they said, not a penny to Harvard, not a penny to Yale, not a penny to New York City University. Let me talk about the worst university in the country, New York Law University, City University of New York Law School, which has become the propaganda arm of Hamas. It had a Hamas-supporting speaker at its graduation. Its faculty voted unanimously to boycott Israel and only Israel. Nobody should hire anybody who graduated from that law school unless you want your students, your clients to be serviced by people who support rapists, who support lynchers. Again, this is comparable to the lynching of 3,000 black people in 100-year history of the South. More Jews were lynched on one day than in any 10-year period during the lynchings. And yet you have black leaders, Black Lives Matter, saying we support Hamas hang gliders coming in and murdering children. You have other black groups and black organizations. The head of the New York University Student Bar Association comes out that way. Fortunately, she lost her job at Winston Strawn. Thank you, Winston Strawn, for doing the right thing. You would not want any of her clients to be represented by somebody who supported rapists and beheaders and kidnappers. So we have to apply a single standard, and that's the university's major fault. It applies a double standard to progressive, woke, left, racists and bigots, and a very, very different standard to democracies, including Israel and including Jews who are regarded as the privileged. That has to end. I've been at universities now, elite universities, for 65 years, and it's not acceptable. And I will not stand for it. I will urge all donors to cut all donations unless there's a reckoning.
So, Professor, here's what's fascinating to me is that President Gray of Harvard is acting against her own financial interest. And I'm trying to figure out, I think I know why, but I want you to explain. What she's saying and doing will be harder for her to raise capital, harder for her to be able to quell a rebellion of donors. So then, is there something she fears more than, Professor, than donors getting angry? And if so, what is that?
It is a revolt among some students, 10% of the students, the racist bigots who Harvard willingly admits knowing about their racism and bigotry. By the way, they turn down students and they sometimes rescind admissions when students make anti-gay or anti-black or other anti-statements, but they welcome anti-Semites into the school. She fears the 10% who will boycott her office. She also doesn't believe that donations will be cut off. Remember, a lot of people donate to Harvard because it's a good thing to do, and it gives you status, and it maybe gets you on the board of overseers. That's going to come to an end. I spoke last night to one of the largest contributors to universities in the history of America, and he's having real second thoughts about where his money is going. And a lot of these people are nearing the end of their lives, and we're talking about their wills. And let me tell you, President Gay, you better have this reckoning now, or you're going to lose so much money in testamentary gifts and other gifts from people. We will not simply sit and accept a double standard against Jews, and you have to take a much stronger stand. Now, President Gay has been influenced. The first statement she made was an abomination. The second statement she made was wrong. The third statement she made was weak. And finally, she's made a fourth statement, which, had it been the first statement, might have been acceptable, but isn't acceptable in the context. And we've had other universities that have said nothing. Now, I don't mind if the university does, Chicago does, and says, we don't get involved in any of these events at all. We don't care if you're anti-Black. We don't care if you're anti-gay. We don't care if you're anti-Jewish. If you're a student and studying science, just study. Okay, that's one approach. But you can't have a double standard and say, we will stand on our heads to make sure that not a single Black student is ever offended or a gay student is ever offended. But you can say whatever you want about Jews, whatever you want about Israel, whatever you want about Zionism. There's a different set of rules for Jews and for others. We will not accept that. Larry Summers and I together have been part of Harvard for over 100 years. The Jewish professors at Harvard helped make the reputation of that university, along with others. Non-Jewish professors who are appalled by what's going on. And we have a say, too. Don't be so chicken-hearted and afraid of those 10% of students who you can never satisfy anyway, because what they are is anti-American. They're anti-Harvard in the end. They're anti-Western culture, and they're certainly anti-Semitic and anti-Israel.
That's right. And, you know, that reckoning needs to happen. And talk also, Professor, that it's the 10% of the students, but also the students get ideological and intellectual air support from some of the faculty. And President Gay, tell us about that.
It's 25% of the faculty. It's only 10% of the students, but it's 25% of the faculty. And by the way, you talk about Jewish donors. Some of the worst offenders on the faculty and among the students are kids who were born of Jewish parents. They're self-hating Jews who are trying to prove that they're in. You know, the woke movement basically says, if you're Jewish and you want to become part of our woke progressive movement, we have a litmus test for you. Come out even more strongly against Israel than our non-Jewish students do. Then we'll be able to accept you as one of us. And so a lot of them give in. And so a lot of the leaders of this anti-Semitic, anti-Zionist, anti-Jewish, anti-Israel posse are Jewish, and a lot of the faculty members are Jewish. A lot of them are hard left. They were people who would have supported communism in the 1930s and would support today socialist candidates for office. Remember, the Democratic Socialists of America are among the worst offenders. They came out strongly in favor of Hamas. They've always been in favor of Hamas. Hamas's main lawyer in New York, his name is Cohen. Again, he went to jail for tax evasion, but nonetheless, he's a self-hating Jew who actively supports Hamas and actively supports Hezbollah. I'm not talking about representing them. Anybody's entitled to have their constitutional rights defended. I'm talking about glorifying them, supporting them, giving them ideological support. And that's what some Jewish lawyers, some Jewish radicals, and even some Jewish donors are doing. But we have to make Harvard pay a price and other schools pay a price for its unwillingness to apply a single standard and to engage in the kind of reckoning with Jews that it did with Blacks.
Obviously, your most recent book is Get Trump. Can you plug one of your books so that you have published on this topic of Jew hatred and Israel? I think that would be really helpful for our audience.
Sure. I wrote The Case for Israel, which was a major bestseller back in the early part of the 20th century. I wrote a book called The Case for Peace, where I come out in favor of the two-state solution. And I say I'm pro-Israel, pro-Palestine, but anti-Hamas. So I have a bunch of books on Israel and the Israeli situation. I guess if somebody wants to really read my views on that, The Case for Israel is probably the best one. I'm now writing a book that'll be out, I hope, in 2 weeks, called The War on the Jews. And I have about half of it written already since last Sunday. You know, when I get inspired by these horrible events, I don't stop until I'm finished. So I will complete this book by the middle of next week. It'll be sent to the public. No, and you can get The War News in about 2 or 3 weeks.
I'm laughing. Only Professor Dershowitz can just say, you know what, I want to write a book. And in 2 weeks, you have a whole nother book. It's just, it's unparalleled. The book is The Case for Israel, if you are interested. So, Professor, there's increased chatter. You could see this, United Nations, the media, they're starting to turn on Israel. They're accusing Israel of potentially trying to ethnically cleanse Gaza, not giving ample time for humanitarian movement. Do the best you can to fill our audience in. What is the truth of what is going to, or what is happening, the history of Gaza and Israel, and the false moral equivalency the media tries to make, where now they're saying Israel is killing women and children indiscriminately. That is a narrative the media is starting to bubble up.
Well, let's first talk for a minute just about Gaza. The occupation of Gaza ended completely in 2005. Not a single Israeli soldier or civilian remained. They left behind hothouses, farm equipment. European countries had turned Gaza into the Singapore in the Mediterranean. Instead, there was a bloody coup. The Hamas murdered the leaders of the Palestinian Authority, exiled the rest of them, took over the country, and started sending rockets into Israel. Obviously, Israel had to protect itself at that point. But take, for example, what happened today. Israel today warned the citizens of North Gaza, leave. We'll give you some time. Leave. Have the United Nations, the Red Cross, help you leave. Go south. Just even if you have to walk, plenty of them have cars. Even if you have to walk, walk 2-3 miles south. You'll be safe because we have to attack North Gaza because that's where the rockets are coming from. What does Hamas do? Not only says to the people, don't leave, stay behind, become human shields, let your children die. But those who wanted to leave, Hamas has blocked the roads. And so, and the UN says, we can't do it. It's impossible, instead of offering to help. So Israel has done what other countries didn't do. The United States didn't warn before Hiroshima, Nagasaki, or the firebombing of Tokyo. They didn't warn before the firebombing of Dresden. Israel is warning the people, get out, and they have an opportunity to get out. And many of them are refusing to do so, and others are being blocked from doing so from Hamas. So let me tell you, every single child, tragically, every single woman who dies as the result of Israel's necessary invasion of North Gaza, every single one of them will be the responsibility of Hamas, of the United Nations, of others who have refused to accept Israel's act of warning, an act unique in military history.
Professor, in closing here, you've done a lot of thinking about the geopolitics. Knowing what we know now, as things develop over years and decades, what do you think is a best case solution, not even solution, but just remedy to this very complicated situation? Egypt doesn't want Gaza. It's a problem that's going to continue. What would you say, if you were to advise the prime minister, you know this very, very well, how would you, what would a success look like given the tragedy and the confusion?
Well, I sat with the prime minister for almost 3 hours the Friday night, 10 days before this happened. And obviously we talked about that and other things. The optimum solution is to end Gaza, the Gaza Strip. The Gaza Strip should not exist as an independent, standalone entity. It should either go to Egypt or it should be basically integrated. The population should be integrated into the West Bank or other areas. It cannot remain controlled by Hamas, which is not a country, but a terrorist organization. Israel then can talk about a kind of two-state solution. It will never be a state of the kind that the Palestinians like. It has to be a disarmed state. It has to be a state in which the AFC is controlled by Israel. But if you go to Ramallah, it's a wonderful city on the West Bank. I've been there many times. I've met with the leaders of the Palestinian Authority there. It's a city as beautiful as Jerusalem. You never see an Israeli soldier. You never see an Israeli civilian there unless they're invited, like I have been. And they're living independently. There is already a two-state solution. Ramallah is the Palestinian state. That just has to be expanded to a few other areas. And then the Palestinians will have more rights than any Arabs anywhere in the Arab world. Already they do. But you can give their cities independence, but they cannot be trusted with an army and navy and rockets and any form of military hardware that can be used against Israel. They have completely and totally disarmed.
We're out of time, but Professor, you and I both know that some of the leaders, like Abbas and others, I don't think they want to have a remedy. I think that constant conflict strengthens them because it would require them to actually govern their citizens, not just push hate, conflict, and jihad against the Jews. That's a very important element here. Yeah.
I agree with you. the events last Saturday only strengthened the hand of the radicals.
Professor, thank you so much.
Thanks so much for listening, everybody. Email us, as always, freedom@charliekirk.com. Thanks so much for listening, and God bless.
For more on many of these stories and news you can trust, go to charliekirk.com.
The United States Constitution guarantees every American fundamental rights and protection of life, liberty, and property. Salem is celebrating our founding document with a special offer, a 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Understand the value of these lithographs as you know the story. A master lithographer, immigrant named Theodore Oman, came to this country to find the American dream. 70 years ago in 1953, Oman printed a limited number of these exceptional Constitution lithographs. Go to SalemEventStore.com to read Oman's entire story. America's most important document stands as a testament to all Americans to maintain their liberties, freedoms, and inalienable rights. Buy it and display it proudly. Buy a gift for your family and friends, for all the teachers in your communities. There's a limited number, so act today. Go to SalemEventStore.com to get your exclusive 1953 Oman U.S. Constitution lithograph. Buy it and display it proudly. While limited supplies last, there's a limited time, so act today. SalemEventStore.com, SalemEventStore.com.